Hello and welcome back to The Interview, a podcast by IMD. Ahead of the G7 next week, IMD has partnered with the St. Gallen Endowment to explore some of the key policy debates that will shape the summit. Created in 2020, the endowment emerged from a successful research project developed at the University of St. Gallen. Today, its work is regularly cited by the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the United Nations. Today, I'm speaking with Simon Evenett, one of the founders of the endowment, who will soon be joining the IMD faculty. Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Anna Elena Sancho, Associate Director of Global Trade Alert, one of St. Gallen's influential initiatives that provides unbiased information about international policy developments.
Hi.
And Fernando Martin, Head of Analytics at Global Trade Alert. So, Simon, I'm going to ask quite a broad question here before we get into the specifics. Why are people so interested this year in the G7?
That's a great question, because in the past, the G20 has been the center of global economic governance since the global financial crisis. What's happened with the Russian invasion of Ukraine is that within the G20, there's been a split, and the Americans and their allies find the G7 a much more convivial place to talk about the different approaches they want to take towards trade, towards geopolitics, and towards all sorts of matters, including climate and the like. And so what we've seen is a rehabilitation of the G7 as an almost the organizing caucus of the Western Bloc. And that's why there will be lots of eyes on what's going on in Italy this weekend. You know, on terms of the agenda there, one topic that they will be discussing is overcapacity and so-called unfair trading practices, which they think arise from economies that aren't really market-based. And of course, this is all code for talking about China. And we're expecting, I think, some strong words building on the decision on Wednesday of the European Commission to impose provisional duties on electric vehicles from China.
Very interesting. Simon, I'd like to get into the weeds a bit on that. Let's start by setting up the stakes here. Why are EV sales, this question of tariffs, such an important area of trade policy for the EU?
The EV car sector in Europe is so important precisely because it's such a major employer in countries like Germany, France, and Italy. Moreover, the link between the EV cars and the clean energy transition puts it in the vanguard of new technological innovation, and Europe wants to play its full part in that transition and worries that other countries, EV producers in particular, China, have stolen the march on its firms.
So, Fernando, what's the basis of those worries?
So there are some factors that can explain the decision by the EU of this concern. First of all, we see that the EU considers this industry, among all the green goods technologies, one of the more strategic at EU level. Second of all, there are also some concerns that China is putting a lot of financial and non-financial support on developing this industry and improving the conditions of the Chinese companies. And that could actually result in an import surge or an increase of exports in the EU that can affect the domestic industry. As lastly, given some traumatic episodes that have happened before, for example, in the case of solar panels that came from China, I think that the EU is trying to protect itself in advance that that situation could happen again.
Anna, what's driven this Chinese export behavior?
Well, some argue that Chinese export behavior has been driven by this so-called excess capacity in the Chinese market. Reality, part of this could be also there's the worries in Europe that Chinese government is no longer so interested in supporting Chinese demand, but mainly industrial capacity and development. And this is seen, for instance, for many years, electric vehicles in China, consumers did receive support, but this no longer. And last year we saw a change in this mentality. And I think this is mainly what might be driven exports in China.
Okay, so coming back to the tariff itself, has this come as a shock to Beijing, to car makers in the West, in China? What are your thoughts?
Wednesday's announcement of tariff increases will not come as a shock to Chinese car and manufacturers at all. They've been pre-warned about this. Essentially, the investigation's been going on for the best part of 6 months. There's been an extensive lobbying operation on all sides in Brussels. And so I think this will have been factored into the plans of Chinese companies. In fact, what we've seen in the trade data for the first quarter of this year has been a reduction in the amount of Chinese EVs shipped to Europe of about an eighth. It's down about $350 million already.
So what's happening there is that even the signal towards an increase in tariffs is causing an early slowdown in export and a changing of market decision-making.
That's right. So the Chinese EV behavior here is parallels many that we've seen in other industries where investigations like this chill trade and reduce trade and often redirect it to new markets. In this current case, the EV sales are being redirected from the EU to South Korea, to Brazil, and to Kyrgyzstan. And in fact, the amount of extra exports to those three markets is about 2.5 times the reduction in sales to Europe. So the Chinese firms are already pivoting to new markets.
So Fernando, we've spoken a bit there about the effect on Chinese firms. What about for Western firms? How are they going to be viewing these tariffs?
Well, there are going to be different views depending on the company. Just to make a simplification, we can just differentiate between German automakers and also French automakers. First of all, we need to consider that these Chinese electric vehicles that they're going to the European market, they target a very specific market segment. They are a very competitive in price cars, which usually compete against some French or Spanish brands. This, on the opposite, doesn't affect the German automakers that they compete in another segment with more expensive cars. So there are going to be a lot of heterogeneity in the effect on the companies, but also heterogeneity in the way that the European government, they're going to react to the decision of the European Commission.
What we've seen already is a reaction, as Fernando is mentioning, different reaction between different EU members, is that some EU members are also trying to attract FDI from these Chinese automakers to produce in their countries already. So to try to make like a buffer and ensure that if their car industry gets impacted, they still will get jobs out and production by getting Chinese companies also producing in EU soil, and that this production comes into these precise countries. What I would like to add here is that we must not forget that, for instance, German manufacturers, they have a lot of stakes in China because they have a lot of production facilities there. And we think about also how EU members that might get affected by their tariffs differently or might get more impacted by the tariffs, they're also getting a strategy to try to attract more Chinese FDI in this segment and this sector, right? So we're seeing already this fluctuation of responses also within the EU countries.
And you're talking about the fluctuations within the EU, but taking a bird's eye view of the EU-US, EU-China relations, what do these tariffs say about how they're developing, Simon?
The latest tariffs from the European Commission reveal a very different strategy towards managing relations with China than that of the Biden administration. The Biden administration has clearly decided that there are some sectors that it wants to see decoupling and thinning of commercial ties. And to that end, they have put in place very high tariffs, sometimes as high as 100%, which will kick in over the next 2 years. In contrast, Europe is taking an extremely surgical approach, responding to complaints about Chinese unfair trade practices and also targeting specific firms within sectors which they think have, the EU Commission thinks has broken the rules. And the surgical nature of this particular intervention is very clear in the fact that although EVs are a broad category, hybrid EVs were excluded from the investigation, only battery EVs were considered, and it's very clear that the Commission is going to hammer the Chinese brands more than the joint ventures with European firms who are exporting back to Europe. So in that sense, the EU's response is much more surgical, it's much more fine-grained, and ironically, it's more likely to generate a more targeted response from China.
Now, we've chosen to focus on these tariffs as a way of getting into the G7. How much will these tariffs feature at the upcoming talks in Bari? How much will they affect the talks?
We've been seeing in the run-up to the G7 Leaders Summit growing coalition of countries which are speaking out against Chinese practices. So earlier this week, President Biden and President Macron of France issued a joint statement which was highly critical of China. That really leaves the Germans to climb on board with this particular criticism, or possibly the Italians as well as host, who are more likely to be more neutral. So I think what we will see in the G7 is this circle of criticism widen. We should expect a very strong statement in the leaders' communique at the end of the summit. I think then the interesting question is whether this translates into concerted action against Chinese measures going forward. And I would suggest that what we've seen this week in Brussels or from Brussels suggests that that's going to be very difficult to pull off.
Now, coming back to China, Fernando, do you foresee Chinese overproduction tailing off as the result of any of these decisions, or will it continue unabated and just find further outlets in markets outside of Europe?
So, I mean, what we have seen here is that Chinese companies there still have more margin to produce more cars. So the factories that they currently are in China, they're not full capacity utilization rate. So that's to start with. And then secondly, there are a lot of plans by Chinese automakers to expand factories in China itself, but also in other countries. So there's still some room for more Chinese electric vehicles. That's to start with. And then secondly, what we're seeing is that even before the decision of implementing this tariff, we see these Chinese automakers, they are trying to find another markets. And we have seen that in the case of Brazil, that the share of Chinese electric vehicles in Brazil has increased to 10%. And the reason why these Chinese automakers, they can do that is because they are very profitable, have a big margin, so they can compete in prices and they can reach different markets apart from high income economies.
At the start of this conversation, Simon mentioned the renewed importance of the G7 for Western nations as a kind of caucus of Western nations. Beyond these particular trade issues, what else are you going to be looking at? And I'll start with you in terms of policy discussions at the G7.
I think that still the Russian-Ukraine conflict is going to pop up and it's going to lead to discussions. And the same thing would happen with the Middle Eastern crisis and see how things evolve there and what sort of political and economic impacts this will have on G7.
I'm really looking forward to the discussion on artificial intelligence because that's an area where both the Singhalen Endowment is doing a lot of work and where IND has a lot of expertise on digital transformation. So I'm hoping that this summit will provide some grist for the mill for both of our organizations.
I'm interested in knowing how the decision about development is gonna evolve in the current context of geopolitics.
Simon, Anna, Fernando, I appreciate your time and for that very interesting discussion. We'll hope to be speaking to you more in the coming weeks.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you so much, bye.
Thank you.